Right. So today we're going to do a deep dive into a really interesting case. It's called Gregory v. Ashcroft.
Okay.
You've probably heard of it. It's the one where Missouri said judges had to retire at 70, and a couple of judges were like, wait a minute, that's age discrimination. And the Supreme Court actually sided with the state on this one.
Interesting.
So,
Yeah, this case is fascinating. It's
yeah.
not just about birthdays and courtrooms.
Right.
It really gets into this whole question of federal power versus states' rights.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to be looking at today.
Exactly.
We've got a whole bunch of sources here:
Yeah.
court decisions, legal analysis, even some dissenting opinions.
Wow.
We're going to try to really figure out what happens when state law bumps up against federal law, who gets the final say.
I love it.
So to set the scene, Missouri had this rule, like written right into their state constitution: judges hit 70, they're out, gotta go.
Gotta go.
Judges Gregory and Nugent, they weren't quite ready to hang up their robes, so they sued.
I see.
And they claimed this violated a couple of big legal guns here. The Age Discrimination in Employment Act,
Right.
which everybody calls the ADE,
The ADE.
and the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment.
Ah, the 14th Amendment. Okay.
So, at first glance, you think, well, their argument seems pretty solid.
Yeah.
The ADEA, that's supposed to protect older workers from being, pushed out of their jobs just because of their age.
Makes sense.
So you would think that would apply to judges too,
You would think.
right?
Right. Absolutely.
But here's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
The Supreme Court took a look at this case and said, hold on, the ADEA, that doesn't actually protect state judges. Wait a minute.
I know.
How can they say that?
How is that possible?
It all comes down to a couple of really key arguments that the court made. First, they looked at this whole idea of judges as what they call
Policymakers. And
policymakers.
they said, look,
Yeah.
judges don't just apply the law, they interpret it.
Right.
And when they do that, they actually help to shape it with every ruling they make.
Interesting.
And the ADEA, as it's written,
Yeah.
specifically excludes policymakers from its protection.
So that's one hurdle.
That's one hurdle right there.
What was the other one?
The other big hurdle was something called the plain statement rule.
Plain statement rule.
Now, this is a legal principle that basically says
Okay.
that if Congress wants to step in, the federal government
Yeah.
wants to override a state's power, they have to be crystal clear about it.
So
They can't be vague.
they have to like shout it from the rooftops.
They got to shout it. This applies to state judges, no matter what.
Like,
And in this case, the court decided the ADEA wasn't clear enough.
right.
It didn't explicitly state that it was meant to cover state judges.
Okay.
So they said, well, you can't use it to overrule Missouri's retirement rule.
All right, so ADA claim out the window.
Out the window.
But what about the equal protection argument? I mean, surely age should be a protected characteristic, right?
Well, you'd think so.
Yeah.
And in many cases, it is.
Yeah.
But here's where it gets a little tricky.
Okay.
When it comes to the Equal Protection Clause, age isn't considered a what they call a suspect class,
Suspect
like
class.
race or gender.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Yeah, what's a suspect class?
It means that the courts apply a much stricter standard
Okay.
when they're reviewing laws that discriminate based on race or gender.
Uh-huh.
They're looking very, very carefully to
Right.
make sure there's a really good reason for that discrimination.
Okay.
But age isn't seen as requiring that same level of scrutiny.
Oh, so the bar is lower for age-based laws.
The bar is lower.
Okay.
Think of it like a hurdle race. Age discrimination faces a lower hurdle
I see.
than race or gender discrimination.
Okay.
The state just needs to show a reasonable justification for the age-based rule,
Right.
and they don't have to jump through as many hoops
Gotcha.
to prove it's necessary.
Interesting.
So,
What was Missouri's reasoning then?
right, what was their reasoning?
Why did they think it was okay to force judges to retire at 70?
Well, their argument was basically, as judges get older, there's a chance, right? Their mental sharpness,
Okay.
their physical abilities might decline,
Right.
and that could affect their ability to do the job effectively.
That's a little bit of a sensitive topic
It is.
to say that older judges might not be up to the task.
It's sensitive, and there are definitely arguments,
Right.
to be made on both sides.
Yeah.
But in this case, the court found Missouri's justification to be reasonable enough.
Reasonable enough.
They applied something called the rational basis test,
Okay.
which is a pretty low bar to clear.
Rational basis.
Essentially, what they're saying is, if the state has any logical reason for this law, we're not going to second guess them.
So they basically said, Missouri, you guys get to decide who sits on your courts.
That's right. And this is where we start to see the broader implications of this case, you know, Gregory v. Ashcroft.
Yeah.
It's really a classic example of this tension that always exists between federal power and states' rights.
Right.
It's a reminder that states do have a significant amount of autonomy, especially when it comes to matters that they've traditionally handled on their own, like setting up their court systems.
Okay. But that feels like that could be a slippery slope, though.
It's interesting you say that.
Because if states have all this power, couldn't that lead to inconsistencies or potentially even discrimination in different parts of the country?
That is a really important question. And that's actually one that we're going to explore further as we continue our deep dive here today.
All right. So we've set the stage.
Yes.
Introduced the players.
Uh-huh.
Seen how the Supreme Court sided with Missouri on the ADEA and the equal protection claims.
We've seen all that.
We've also kind of gotten a glimpse of how this case highlights this bigger issue of federalism.
It does.
This kind of delicate balance between federal power and states' rights.
That delicate balance.
We've only just scratched the surface here.
We've only scratched the surface. There's so much more to unpack.
I know.
Right? For instance, we haven't even talked about the dissenting opinions in this case.
The dissenting opinions.
The justices who disagreed with the majority.
Yeah. If everybody agreed, it wouldn't be a very interesting case, would it?
Not at all.
So stay tuned, because in part two of this deep dive, we're going to delve deeper into those dissenting opinions. We're going to examine the specific arguments made by both sides and really start to kind of unravel the nuances of this landmark decision.
Can't wait.
All right. So buckle up.
Buckle up.
Get ready for a wild ride.
Wild ride.
Through the world of constitutional law.
I'm ready.
And the ongoing battle between federal power and states' rights. We'll be back soon with part two.
Sounds great.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
All right. So we've established that the Supreme Court basically said, Missouri, you're good to set your own retirement age for judges.
Right.
But not everyone on the court agreed with that decision, right?
Yeah, absolutely not.
There were some pretty strong dissenting opinions in this case.
There were some strong dissents.
Yeah. What were some of the arguments there?
Well, Justice Blackmun, for example, he wrote a really scathing dissent.
Okay.
He argued that the majority's interpretation of the ADEA was way too narrow and that Congress never intended to exclude judges from its protection.
So what was his reasoning? What was he thinking there?
Well, he pointed out that, you know, when Congress wrote the ADEA, they were thinking about, you know, typical workplaces, factories, offices, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
They wanted to protect everyday workers from being discriminated against based on age.
Okay.
And he argued that judges, you know, even though they have a lot of power, they're still employees in a sense.
Yeah.
They work for the state. They have salaries. They perform a specific job.
Right.
So in his view,
there's
no reason why they shouldn't be covered.
Yeah.
By the ADA,
uh-huh.
just like any other worker.
Right. It seems kind of arbitrary to say that judges are somehow different.
It does seem arbitrary.
From other employees when it comes to age discrimination.
Yeah. I think Justice Blackmun had a good point there.
And he went even further, right?
He did.
He said that the majority's focus on this whole policymaking exception.
Yeah, the policymaking thing
was misplaced.
Yeah, he said that was misplaced.
What did he mean by that?
Well, he argued that judges aren't policymakers in the same way that, you know, like elected officials are.
Right.
Their role is to interpret the law, not to create it.
So he's basically saying the court took this policymaking idea too far.
That's exactly what he said.
And by doing so, they created this loophole.
A loophole.
That allows for age discrimination.
Right.
In a really important part of our government.
Exactly.
Okay, so Justice Blackmun had some strong words there.
He did.
Were there any other dissenting voices in this case?
Yeah. Justice White also wrote a dissent.
Okay.
And he actually took aim at something else we discussed earlier.
Right.
That plain statement rule.
The plain statement rule. Okay.
He basically argued that this rule is way too rigid.
Okay.
And that it gives states way too much power to ignore federal laws.
So he's saying the court's making it too hard.
Essentially, yes.
For the federal government to actually do its job and protect people's rights.
That's one way to put it.
He felt that Congress shouldn't have to spell out every single situation.
Every single situation.
Where a federal law applies to the states.
Right.
So that's a really different perspective.
It is.
I mean, I'm starting to see how this case goes way beyond.
It does.
Just the specifics of Missouri's retirement rule.
Yeah.
It's really a debate about the fundamental structure of our government.
Exactly.
How much power the states should have versus the federal government.
You hit the nail on the head.
It's really fascinating.
Gregory V. Ashcroft is like a perfect example of how a seemingly simple case can just open up this Pandora's box of these really complex legal and political questions.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we've got these dueling perspectives here.
We do.
The majority opinion that sides with Missouri.
Right.
And then these strong dissents that raise concerns about age discrimination and states' rights.
Lots to think about.
It is a lot to take in.
It is.
But let's try to kind of connect this back to our listeners for a second.
Okay.
Why should somebody who's not a judge or a legal scholar care about this case?
That's the question, isn't it?
What's the takeaway for everyday people?
I think it boils down to this. Gregory V. Ashcroft is a reminder that the balance of power between our federal government and the states is constantly being negotiated.
Okay.
And this balance affects all of us, even if we don't realize it.
In what way?
It impacts the laws that are passed, regulations that are enforced, and the rights that we are able to exercise.
So what you're saying is this case isn't just some like abstract legal debate.
No, it's not abstract.
It has real world consequences for how our country functions.
Real world consequences.
The kind of society we live in.
Exactly.
And it raises some questions, right?
It does raise some big questions.
That we as citizens need to think about.
Yeah.
Like,
for example.
In what areas of our lives do we want the federal government to set national standards? And where are we comfortable letting states make their own decisions?
Right.
Is it okay to have different laws?
Different laws.
In different states.
Nah,
even if it means that some people might have more rights or protections than others.
Those are some tough questions.
They are tough questions.
And those are the questions that the courts grapple with all the time.
Yeah, but where do we draw the line?
That's the question.
Between respecting states' autonomy.
Right.
And making sure that everyone has equal rights.
But the balancing act.
And protections.
Yeah.
Regardless of where they live.
Exactly.
Man, being a judge sounds like a tough job.
It's a tough job.
They have to weigh all these competing interests.
It is.
And decide what the right balance is.
And that's why cases like Gregory V. Ashcroft are so important. They provide a framework for thinking about these issues.
Okay.
Even if they don't give us all the answers.
So big takeaway here.
Big takeaway.
What do you want our listeners to really remember about this case?
I would say the biggest takeaway.
Okay.
Is that federalism.
Okay.
Isn't just some abstract concept from a textbook.
Right.
It's this living, breathing force that shapes our lives every single day.
I like that. Living, breathing force.
And Gregory V. Ashcroft is a really powerful reminder that that balance of power between the federal government and the states is constantly evolving.
Yeah.
And that we all have a role to play in that evolution.
That's a great point, because ultimately it's up to us as citizens to decide what kind of country we want to live in.
That's right.
Do we want more power concentrated at the national level?
Yeah.
Do we want states to have more autonomy?
Big questions.
Those are the big questions.
And that's a debate that's likely to continue for generations to come.
For a long time.
But hopefully by understanding cases like Gregory, we can engage in that debate in a more informed and thoughtful way.
Well said. I mean, this has been a fascinating deep dive.
It has.
I feel like I've learned so much about Gregory V. Ashcroft.
Yeah.
And this whole complex world of federalism.
It's complex.
Yeah. It's amazing how a case about judges retiring.
I know, right?
Can lead us down so many different paths.
It really is. But that's the beauty of constitutional law.
Yeah.
It's always challenging us to think critically about the structure of our government and the principles.
The principles.
That guide our society.
All right. So that's a wrap for part two of this deep dive.
All right.
We're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back.
Sounds good.
With part three, where we'll look at some real world examples.
We'll love it.
Of how Gregory V. Ashcroft has been used to shape legal arguments.
Can't wait.
In other cases. So stay with us. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground with Gregory V. Ashcroft.
Yeah.
We've seen how the court ruled heard from those dissenting voices.
Yeah.
And even started to think about, you know, the bigger implications for federalism.
Right. And now I think it's time to kind of bring it all home. You know, see how this case has actually played out in the real world? Because believe it or not, Gregory v. Ashcroft, it keeps popping up.
Really?
In all sorts of legal battles, even decades after it was decided.
Okay, give me an example. What kind of cases are we talking about here?
Okay, so imagine a scenario
where
the federal government passes a law saying all teachers must be licensed by a national board.
Okay, so national standards for educators.
National standards.
What's wrong with that?
Sounds pretty straightforward, right?
Yeah.
But then some states, they push back and they say, hold on a second. Education, that's always been a state issue.
Wow.
We decide how to license our teachers, not the feds.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what case they might cite?
Oh, I see where you're going with
it. To support their argument.
Gregory v. Ashcroft.
Bingo, they'd pull out that plain statement rule we talked about.
Right.
And say, look, the law doesn't specifically say it preempts state licensing rules. So we're sticking with our own system.
Wow. So Gregory, it's like it created this blueprint.
It's a blueprint.
For how to challenge federal power.
Exactly. And we see this happening in all kinds of areas. Environmental regulations, healthcare policy, even gun control.
Hmm.
Anytime there's a clash between federal law and state law, Gregory is often lurking in the background.
This is making me think about something we talked about earlier.
Okay.
That potential downside of giving states too much power.
Right.
Because if every state can just cherry pick which federal laws they want to follow, wouldn't that just lead to chaos?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And there's no easy answer.
Right.
On the one hand,
yeah,
you have the argument that states know their own needs and circumstances better than the federal government ever could.
Right.
So they should have the flexibility to experiment with different approaches.
Okay.
Tailor policies to their unique populations.
So like a laboratories of democracy kind of thing?
Exactly. That's the classic argument for states' rights. Let them innovate. Let them try new things.
Right.
But then there's the flip side.
Okay.
The concern that too much variation between states can create inequality and undermine national unity.
Yeah, because what if some states end up with like really progressive policies?
Right.
While other states are kind of lagging behind.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem very fair.
It's a valid concern. And it's one that, you know, the courts, they grapple with all the time.
Yeah, they do.
Where do we draw the line between respecting states' autonomy and ensuring that everyone has equal rights and protections?
Right.
No matter where they live.
It's a tough job. Being a judge.
It's a tough job.
You got to weigh all these competing interests.
All these interests.
And figure out what's the right balance.
And that's why cases like Gregory v. Ashcroft are so important.
Yeah.
They provide a framework for thinking about these issues, even if they don't give us all the answers.
So big takeaway here. What do you want our listeners to really remember?
I think a big takeaway is this federalism.
Okay.
It's not just some abstract concept from a textbook.
Yeah.
It's a living, breathing force that shapes our lives every single day.
I like that, living, breathing force.
And Gregory v. Ashcroft is a powerful reminder that this balance of power between the federal government and the states, it's constantly evolving. And we all have a role to play in that evolution.
That's a great point, because ultimately, it's up to us as citizens to decide what kind of country we want to live in.
It is.
Right. Do we want more power concentrated at the national level? Or do we want states to have more autonomy?
Those are the big questions.
Big questions. Huge questions.
And it's a debate that's probably going to continue for generations to come.
Probably, yeah. For a long time.
But hopefully, by understanding cases like Gregory, we can all engage in that debate.
Yeah.
In a more informed and thoughtful way.
Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive.
It has been.
I feel like I've learned so much about Gregory v. Ashcroft, this whole world of federalism.
It's a fascinating area of law.
It is.
Full of these really complex questions.
Well, that's it for this episode of The Deep Dive. We want to thank you for joining us on this journey, and we hope you'll continue to explore these really important issues.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening.